So a few weeks ago, we started a Lent series called People Who Found Strength in God. And this is linked to our verse of the year. We have the PowerPoint up. Our verse of the year, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And in this series, we've started looking at a few different people from the Old Testament to see how they were strengthened by God in the challenges and the struggles that they faced in life and faith. And to consider what we might draw from their experiences. And so I started off a few weeks ago by looking at David, and then Pat came and spoke about Nehemiah. And today I thought it would be good to focus on a female character from the Old Testament. And who else could I choose but Esther? The story of Esther is an amazing story. It's an exciting and an interesting tale. And I know that at least one or two films have been made about it, but I'm surprised there haven't been more films made about this story. In this story, it includes relationships and power struggles and plot twists and betrayal. There's a beauty contest. There's an execution. And there's very nearly the genocide of all the Jewish people living in Persia at that time. Interestingly, the book of Esther is the only book in the Bible that doesn't actually mention God by name. But it's very clear as we read this story that God's hand is over Esther, and his power and his strength are woven throughout the story. So let's explore the story a little bit more. 2 weeks ago, Pat spoke about Nehemiah, who was a Jewish exile living in a place called Susa in Persia after the Babylonian exile. And Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. He heard about the destruction in Jerusalem. The king released him to go and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. We heard all about that when Pat was preaching. Esther lived in a very similar time. Her story chronologically comes just before Nehemiah, during the reign of the previous king. This story is set about 100 years after the Babylonian exile. But many Jews are still living in Persia and haven't returned to Israel for many different reasons. Some perhaps because it was such a long journey. Others had settled in Babylon and so didn't feel the need to move back. Some it was just a case of fear. They were perhaps just stuck in the captivity where they were. But also their homeland had been completely destroyed. And so even if they did return, there wasn't much to return to. We look at situations in Ukraine at the moment, in places like Mariupol, and we see absolute destruction. And actually, if the Russians were to leave, it would be some time before people were able to return there and to live and to work. This was a similar situation faced by the Israelites. They were free, but they had no place to return to. And so they stayed in Babylon. The story tells us that Esther was an orphan, and after the death of her parents, she was adopted and raised by her uncle, who was called Mordecai, who we were hearing a bit about in that passage. And they grew to have a really close bond, and Esther had quite a quiet life with Mordecai, until one day when everything changed. On that day, the king of Persia, who was called Xerxes I, threw a massive party. And on the final day of the party, he called for his queen, who was called Vashti, and he wanted to show her beauty off to all of his guests. But she refused to appear before him. And so the king is filled with anger, and he gets rid of Queen Vashti, and says he never wants to see her again. And so, without a queen, he decides to throw a beauty pageant in order to find himself a new wife. And so he sent out commissioners to recruit all the most beautiful women in the land into his harem. And before they can appear before the king, they have to undergo extensive beauty treatments lasting 12 months. This is a bit of that passage if you want to read it. And so we read that when her time came, Esther appeared before the king, and he found her to be more beautiful and more attractive than any of the other women. And he placed a crown on her head and made her his queen. Throughout all of this, Esther kept quiet about her nationality and told no one that she was a Jew, as instructed by her uncle Mordecai. And he feared the consequences for Esther and the rest of the family if people found out that she was a Jew. So Esther becomes queen and begins to live in the palace and has access to the king, but still lives in fear. During this time, her uncle Mordecai uncovers a plot to assassinate the king and tells Esther, who reports it to the king, saving his life. The king recognized Mordecai's act of kindness and grew to like Mordecai. But the king has an official, a right-hand man, a wicked man who's called Haman. Haman hated Mordecai because of his closeness to the king, because he was a Jew, and because he refused to bow down to Haman. Haman didn't just hate Mordecai, he hated all the Jews, and he devised a plot to kill every Jewish person living in Persia, and he gets the agreement of the king to carry it out. So Mordecai learns of this plot, and he passes on this message to Esther and tries to tell her about it. And he challenges Esther to do something about this evil plot, but she's afraid. The only way to stop this plot would be for her to reveal that she is a Jew herself to the king, which she thought would certainly have her killed. She couldn't just walk into the king's presence and tell him to stop Haman. But Mordecai challenges her with some of the most well-known words from the book of Esther. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. So Esther urges all of the Jews to fast and pray for their deliverance. Then, risking her own life, the brave young Esther approaches the king with the request. She invites the king and Haman, the nasty official, to a banquet, where eventually she reveals her Jewish heritage to them, as well as Haman's plot to have her and her people killed. And the king's eyes are opened, and in anger he orders that the wicked Haman be hung on the gallows, the same gallows that Haman had built for Mordecai. So Mordecai was given Haman's job then as the king's right-hand man, and all the Jews were granted protection throughout the land of Persia. And the Jewish people still celebrate God delivering them from this genocide in Persia today with a festival that's called Purim, which tends to be observed in February each year. And so that's the background of this story of Esther and a little bit of what is going on. And so now we've heard the story, let's think for a moment about how Esther finds her strength in God during this time. And the first thing I want to pick out is that God uses the position that Esther finds herself in, the position of being the queen. One of the main themes that we find in the book of Esther is how much God hates racial prejudice and the role he gives Esther in courageously speaking out against the injustice of the planned genocide against the Jewish people in Persia, despite the risk that this might pose to her own life. Slightly less comparable to it, but still quite serious. A couple of weekends ago, in our news, you'll remember all the stories that were being thrown around about Gary Lineker speaking out against the government's plans to deal with migrant boat crossings. I'm sure there are different views within this room about immigration, how things should be dealt with, and Gary Lineker, and whether he should speak out as an employee of the BBC and use that platform to speak on political issues. But for him personally, he had a conviction that something was wrong, and he decided to use something of his position of influence to speak out against that he perceived to be unjust. You could say that he had a sense of being put in his position for such a time as this, to be able to use his responsibility to speak out on something that had upset him. In the story of Esther, God uses Esther's position. God uses Esther's decisions and choices and her life circumstances, her position of being queen, to work out his divine plans and to save his people from death. Mordecai says to her, "Who knows but you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." That's the most well-known verse that most people will know in the book of Esther, that God had put her there for such a time as this. And this poses the question to us of, where has God put us in our lives? What's our sphere of influence? Where has God placed us? How does God want us to use our life circumstances as an opportunity to build his kingdom here on earth? Where has God put you for such a time as this? And what's he asking you and leading you to do with that? But whilst God uses the position of power given to Esther as the queen to save his people, at first she really isn't sure. She's scared. She doesn't want to speak to the king. She doesn't want to reveal her Jewish identity and speak out against Haman's plot. At first, in some ways, she kind of sees it as other people's issues and not hers to deal with. But again, she's challenged by Mordecai, who says, "If you don't speak, I'm sure God will find another way to save his people. But surely you and your family won't survive, and perhaps God has put you here for this purpose." I have a bit of a confession to make. I was in a cafe the other day, and it was quite quiet, so conversations could be quite clearly heard. And there was a man at the counter who was speaking to the female member of staff, and I could hear him being actually really rude to her, and actually quite sexist in some of the things that he was saying. And there was part of my brain that told me that I should stand up and say something. But actually, in fear, and in not wanting to escalate that situation any further, I said nothing. Now, actually, that's me confessing that. How many of us have been in a similar situation and overheard something and not gone and said something? I'm challenged by Mordecai's words to Esther. It's the realization of the risk to her own life and to her own family that actually leads her to go to the king and to do something. In the situation I was in the other day, I didn't know the woman who was on the end of these words. But actually, that woman could just as easily have been my wife or my daughters. Surely then I would have had a bit more courage to say something. Perhaps God had put me there for such a time as this, and I should have spoken out and helped that person who was in need. How often do we miss opportunities to challenge injustice, to speak up when we hear someone else being treated wrongly? How often do we think that the plight of another person isn't our issue, or that there's nothing that we can do, and so because of that we remain silent? Throughout history and in the world today as well, we see injustice all around us. We see people dying in Ukraine to protect their land and their sovereignty. We see people persecuted for their faith and their nationality. Less than 90 years ago in Europe, we witnessed the Holocaust, in which millions of people died. Much of this pain is caused by injustice and by evil ideologies that go unchallenged because people stay silent out of fear. The story of Esther reminds us of the importance of speaking out against injustice, whether that's on a small level in a cafe or on a big level by being a voice to the government. Where do we find ourselves and how will we use our voices in those places? We might keep quiet if we think there is distance between ourselves and those who are suffering, but like Mordecai reminds Esther, it could just as easily be us. It could just as easily be our children, our husbands, our wives, fleeing from a war zone, from persecution, or trying to cross a sea, the sea in a small boat. It could just as easily be our children on the end of a sexist or racist remark. Wouldn't we want someone to use their privilege to speak out and bring about our freedom? But actually, Esther isn't just motivated by saving herself and her own family. Because as the story goes on, she grows in her desire and her passion to save all the Jewish people living in Persia. God gives her a passion for her people. She connects with them. She tells them of her plan to go to the king. And she asks them to fast and to pray that they will be delivered. Then in chapter 7, when she meets with the king and Haman at the banquet, she says, "I and my people have been sold to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated." She identifies the Jewish people as her people and asks for them to be saved. One of the ways God strengthens us for a task or helps us to fulfill the plan that he has for our lives is to give us a passion for a particular group of people or a cause. In this story, Esther's life has become quite different to her Jewish people. She's living as a queen in a palace with servants meeting her every need. It would have been quite easy for her to become disconnected from reality and from the life of the Jewish people around her. But yet she calls them my people, and she identifies with their need. There are many people in this world who are different to us in one way or another, whether that's gender or race or sexuality or culture or lifestyle or wealth. Just because someone is different to us, that doesn't mean we can't learn and grow in our understanding of their struggles and recognize that they too are people just like us in need of our help. So who has God given you a passion for? And how are you learning to identify with the needs of others, even if your experience is very different from theirs? And then finally, in this story, God gives Esther the strength and the courage she needs to face the king. And this really wouldn't have been an easy task. Esther didn't know how the king would react and what would happen, but she started with prayer. It says that she prayed and fasted, and she asked all the Jewish people to pray and to fast. So she clearly valued her faith in God and wanted God's help. She had no idea how this was all going to work out, but she trusted that God had a plan and could do more than she could imagine. And so she faced the king who freed the Jewish people, and Haman was put to death on the gallows that he built for King to kill Mordecai. And it's one thing finding ourselves in a place for such a time as this. It's one thing being challenged to speak out or to act on something and having a passion to help a group of people. We can have all those thoughts and desires, but it's a very different thing to actually do it, to act and to speak up. And actually, I think this takes a different kind of strength and a different kind of courage. It takes a supernatural strength that only comes from God and from his Spirit at work in us. It goes back again to our verse of the year that I started with that says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." And there are other verses like Joshua 1 verse 7, which says, "Be strong and very courageous, because God will go with you." Esther grew in strength as she prayed, and then on the day of the banquet, she had this supernatural courage that she needed to speak to the king. So Esther, as I said, grew in strength as she prayed, and then she had this courage that she needed to approach the king. The past few weeks, I know some of you have noticed that Esther and I have been a bit weary and struggling a little bit because of the challenging time that we're going through with all the stuff with moving house. And with all that, we know that God's hand is in our move and that he's led me to the new role I'm going to be taking on. But we're still waiting for all these other aspects of the move to come together. And at this stage, we kind of feel like we've done everything that we can in our human strength. And we're exhausted by it all. And we need God to make something happen now. And this made me kind of reflect alongside the story of Esther, that there are times when we come to the end of what we think we can do, and when our human strength and abilities and logic are exhausted, and when we can't see what the outcome might look like. This is the kind of situation that Esther finds herself in here. She doesn't see how it's going to all work out with the king. In those times, we can learn from Esther that all we can do is pray. She prayed and she fasted and she trusted that God has got this. At times God needs us to do big things that we aren't capable of doing in our own strength. And we need his help. We need his supernatural strength and courage. And in times like this, I'm strengthened as well by a verse from Exodus which says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Our courage and strength, well, I guess his courage and strength, is found in the presence of God. As we've looked through this story of Esther, there are a number of themes that stand out in this story, and I've hinted at a few. We see God's interaction with Esther's human will. Will she go to the king or will she not? His hatred of injustice and God's power to give wisdom and help in times of danger and difficulty. But there are two overriding themes that stand out to me as I read this story. The first is the fact that God is always in charge, that God is sovereign, that God's hand is always at work in our lives and the lives of his people. He used the circumstances in Esther's life as he uses the decisions and actions that we make in our lives to work out his plans. And so we can trust in God's care for us. And then the second is that God is always seeking to deliver his people. God raised up Esther just as he raised up other people like Moses and Joshua and Joseph and many others to deliver his people from destruction. And this reminds us again as we come to communion as well in a moment, that through Jesus we are delivered from sin and from death. And so today, as we look at this story of Esther, we draw strength from who God is. That when he calls us to do a task that seems far too big, that his hand is over our lives, that his plans for us are good, that he will help us, that he will deliver us, and that he will save us. Because we are his chosen people. We are his children who he loves. So let's take a moment.